We're glad for the blood of Jesus Christ shed for us. This song is super important to us just because of the words that it holds.
Message of Jesus and his powerful blood. Hallelujah. Let us turn this morning to the second chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians 2. We will begin with verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And this morning I want to speak for a little while on the kindness of God, as we read that he has shown to us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. This word kindness has a number of meanings. It is derived from several words if you study it out, but it means to be useful. Kindness means excellence in character. It means gentleness, goodness. Of course, we can see the goodness. As Jesus said, there is none good but God. It means gracious. It means to furnish what is needed. And it means to act towards one in a given manner. We can certainly understand kindness and goodness as being an indication describing God's character. But today I want to enlarge a little bit in this message on God's acts of kindness, especially with the idea that He furnishes what is needed. There are many scriptures which express such kindness. We are familiar with a great many of them. We have heard them quoted by some again and again. One would be Psalm 68:18, where we read that, "Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive. You've received gifts for men, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." This is one of the major things I want to notice about God's kindness, is that this is a daily thing. He daily loads us with benefits, or with those things that indeed are useful or that are needed for our lives. It's not just a matter of experiencing the kindness of God in one particular experience, but it is a daily thing that we must understand and continue to believe God for in our experience. Another wonderful verse along these lines, again, one that has been quoted so many times, as Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning." And again, the kindness of God extended to us, His mercy given unto us every morning. We saw there in Psalm 68 that God gave His gifts and His kindness extended to the rebellious also. And that is absolutely the truth. But I want to notice the other side of that. We find in Lamentations, His mercies are made new every morning. But in Psalm 7:11, we read these words, "God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day." The reason for that is because that every day God expresses His benefits. He expresses His kindness. And every day the wicked rejects it. And so God is angry with the wicked every day. It's important for us to understand that God daily offers His benefits, His kindness, His mercy, His goodness. And yet men do not lay hold of it. There are those, we'll see a little bit later on, among Christians that do not fully appropriate and accept and lay hold of the tremendous kindness that God wants to hold out to them. There are many examples as I meditated upon this message, wondering about some of those who have experienced the glorious kindness of God and the effect that it had on their lives. We are a people that learn by example. And it is so encouraging, so interesting, so uplifting to go through the Scripture and find those who had experiences like unto our own, the way they handled them, the way that God blessed them, the way that God delivered them, and then to realize He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God answered the cries of those people, He surely will answer my cry. He will extend kindness unto me. I remember going through so many of these personalities in Bible school, both as a student and in teaching synthesis, and talking about those who had such experiences with the Lord. And all of a sudden I woke up to the idea, I'm no different than Abraham was, or Isaac, Jacob, or anyone else. They were just people, flesh and blood, just like me. And if God was useful in their lives, if God furnished the need in their lives, He'll do exactly the same thing in mine. They're not put on some pedestal away up where we cannot reach them. All men are leveled before God. And He shows His kindness indeed unto us. I singled out two of those personalities, so to speak, for the message this morning. One of them is Paul, who was at the time Saul of Tarsus. I want to see these individuals because they experienced the kindness of God in very difficult and traumatic circumstance, but they also experienced the kindness of God in great blessing, bountiful blessing, after that they had indeed surrendered unto the Lord. And that is the pattern that we must find in our lives today. I fear there are many Christians who, yes, they experience the glorious kindness of God when they're born again, but there is so much more for us, even kindness shown to us every day. Saul of Tarsus, you'll find his story in Acts 9. Remember, he was on the road to Damascus, going to persecute Christians when God smote him, struck him down, blinded him. Then it was Saul who cried out, "Who art thou, Lord?" And Jesus answered him, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." And then the next words out of Saul's mouth was, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" It was God's kindness who knocked him into the dust of that road in the very beginning. And Saul responded rightfully, but that's not the end of his story. He describes his own experience. You'll find it in 1 Timothy 1. And he says, "I thank Jesus our Lord." And then he indeed tells about these things that he was before. He was a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious. But he says, I obtained mercy. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. The kindness of our Lord was great. And so he says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me. He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." God not only saved Saul of Tarsus that day, He gave him a very prominent place in His own purpose. It reminds us much of Peter, who denied the Lord three times. And yet it was Peter who had to get used to the idea that Jesus was continuing to extend kindness unto him. "Peter, I want you to feed my lambs. I want you to be a part of my program, a part of the ministry of God." And we find that Peter, of course, eventually bowed to that. This is the extensive kindness that God will extend to people today if they only reach out and take it. Then I was reminded of David. This is a man who had surrendered his life to the Lord at a very young age. He had a tremendous testimony of God's faithfulness and victory even before he slew Goliath. Yet there came a time in David's life when this man succumbed to his own flesh and he was guilty of fornication and adultery. Tried to cover that up with murder. But God again extended his kindness unto David. He sent Nathan. And in the end, David simply told David, "Thou art the man that are guilty." And David responded by repenting before God. And again, God extended his kindness. "Thou shalt not die." In other words, God once again supplied, He furnished what was needed at that particular time in such kindness unto David. I think it's so important to understand the context and the order in which certain things happen in the Scripture. In the 7th chapter of 1 Samuel, God extended his kindness to David by way of the Davidic covenant. And David finally accepted that. Lord, you go ahead and bless me the way you said you will. Then in the 11th chapter, David committed the horrendous blunders that we just noticed. And the beauty of it is that those blunders did not negate the tremendous blessing that God had bestowed upon David in the Davidic covenant. There are people today that do not understand the depth and the might and the majesty of divine grace, but here's one place we see it. He made a horrible mistake, but God did not withdraw his kindness from him. And the same thing is true of God's people. Make no mistake, David suffered some consequences for his acts. There's always consequence, beloved, for yielding to the flesh. But losing your salvation and suffering eternal loss is not one of them. And so we find out that David still maintained that glorious promise of the Davidic covenant. And then we find another psalm that David wrote. It's Psalm 18. It's the same as 2 Samuel 22. It is written around the fact that God delivered David from his enemies, most specifically Saul. And one part of that psalm says this: He brought me forth into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Once again, that the truth of that psalm is not negated by what David did. God still honored it. David was still, as we find here, he brought me forth into a large place. That large place tells us of a large place of prosperity and blessing. And today I want to continue this message by realizing that God has done the same thing for you and I. Verse 6 records the large place that God has brought us to. He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. That's the large place that God has put at our disposal. And it is a wonderful place. And it is a place where God also extends his glorious kindness unto us. It is so important to consider, as I said before, the order and the context of Scripture. This comes to bear here in our text. We read in verse 6 that God has raised us up together. He's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then verse 7, that. I want to notice that verse 7 is the purpose for verse 6. God raised us up in order that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. He raised us up that he might extend such kindness in our lives. And you will notice in verse 7, in the ages to come. The ages to come mean this age, along with eternity. We must understand that these glorious truths must be given unto us now at this present time. We are in these ages to come, this church age, whereby God will pour out these wonderful blessings and extend this kindnesses unto us. I want to notice for this message that there are two expressions of God's kindness given unto us. The first one is here in verse 6. He's made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. What is in the heavenlies? What kindness is there? The answer to that question is found in chapter 1, where we read the same words, but with this added information. Verse 3, chapter 1, 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. He extends his kindness to us in giving us spiritual blessings. There are a great number of Christians in our world who really do lay hold and claim of the kindness that God would give to them, but they oftentimes just consider it only in the natural realm. God has furnished the need. He promised to do that. He has furnished the need in natural things. Every one of us certainly have the advantage that God has supplied our food. He has furnished ample food for us, raiment. He's given us comfortable homes, roofs over our heads, and He's given us all sorts of modes and ways of transportation along with many other natural blessings. These are wonderful. But let us understand that God's kindness is especially expressed to us in spiritual blessings. I don't know what answer I might get if I ask people who go to church regularly around this country or even the world, "Can you name for me some spiritual blessings?" I don't know what answer I would get, but I do want for us to understand and have a little bit of an idea of what it means to experience and enjoy spiritual blessings. They are scattered throughout this entire book and, of course, through the scripture, but I just want to mention a few of them in order that we understand spiritual blessings. Beginning with verse 2 of this same chapter 1, grace. Grace is a spiritual blessing. Now, he extends grace in the natural manner, but grace goes far beyond just "By grace are you saved" as far as your initial salvation and delivered from hell. Grace must be experienced. His mercies are renewed every morning in our lives, and that in a spiritual way, ministering to the spiritual man, the inner man. This life that was implanted in us the moment we believed. So grace would be a spiritual blessing. Peace. I think of this one in our present situation. I know of many people. I hear it all the time on TV, and many of these more than likely unbelievers. But I know that there are also Christians who are about as uptight as you can get over this current virus. Bless God, I also know some others who are absolutely at peace in the midst of this. They know that regardless of what happens to them, they belong to the Lord. And they're not nervous at all. And they are not uptight. They're not just completely obsessed with this virus. God has given them peace. We have seen it down through the ages. I've seen people go through horrendous circumstance. Things that should have torn them apart, but they didn't. Why? Because God gives His peace in the midst of such turmoil and circumstance as that. But there are many more down through here. Notice verse 4. This is another glorious blessing, and some Christians may not even realize that they have this glorious spiritual kindness that God has given. Verse 4. "According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world." We have been chosen by God. Should that not make us feel rather special? Should that not make us feel that we mean something to God if He chose us already? And then that we should be holy. We were made holy the day we were born again. But this spiritual blessing, this kindness that God has extended to us, makes us holy in actual experience, and notice the next one, blameless. I know some who would argue with that. There's no way. Well, I beg your pardon. The scripture says there is. We must understand that God has the ability to make me blameless, and it's not in the eyes of men, but in the eyes of God. That is a spiritual blessing and kindness that God will give unto us if we simply lay hold of it. Notice further, verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption. Many have been tripped up over that little word adoption, like you're adopted in as a stranger. Let us go on record as the scripture tells us. There's only one way to get into the body of Christ, and that is the new birth by the blood of Jesus. There's no such thing as such adoption as we think today. The word adoption simply means son placement. That's what he's saying here. We have been placed as sons. Becoming a son of God, indicating maturity and growth and perfection, that is a kindness that God extends to you and I if we will but claim it. We have been given that glorious opportunity. We read in another place, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And we need the boldness to claim that in claiming God's kindness indeed unto us. Notice verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the beloved. What a revelation of truth. When God makes known unto us, I was never accepted on my own merit because I didn't have any, but I am accepted in the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. That life that He implanted in me at the new birth gives me acceptance in Christ. And this is what God sees. He accepts me just as much as He does His own Son, Jesus Christ, because I am a son of God now. And then verse 9 is another powerful spiritual blessing that God will give to anyone who will reach out and take it. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will. To think that we can look into the scriptures. And believe me, there are mysteries there. Just go ask any unbeliever and he'll tell you, there ain't no way you can understand those things. Yes, you can. Because God has given us understanding of these mysteries. They just unfold before us. And they are as plain as they can be. That is when God makes known unto us, gives to us the knowledge of the mystery of His will. And that mystery belongs to me when God shows it unto me. Let us go back to chapter 2. God extended His kindness unto us in spiritual blessings. Notice verse 7. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The second illustration or expression of His kindness is in the riches of His grace. And let us not make the mistake of just generalizing that, of course, all grace is riches and all of that. Christians need to be specific because God is specific. And I want to notice some specifics of this kindness that God has extended to us in the riches of his grace. Notice verse 10. We are his workmanship. There may be different ways that this is translated, but one of them is the essence of workmanship. We are his masterpiece. God is creating a masterpiece of me. Some people think you're assuming too much there. No, you're not. We are God's masterpiece. This is a part of the riches of his grace. This is the kindness he has extended unto me far, far beyond just being born again. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. It took God 7 days, six, and then on the seventh he rested. But it took God that time to create the world. Let us understand that we too are a work in progress. Oh, I would love for him just to blast it together all at once and I'd be perfect in a moment of time, but he didn't choose to do that. Our lives are a work in progress. He is creating day after day. And we must keep in mind that God will use anything in his creation. We've already seen how he used things in the lives of Saul of Tarsus, in the lives of David, in order to bring them to the place where he wanted them to be. He will use sometimes very obnoxious individuals, believe it or not, in order to work in my life. He will use mistakes. He will use anything in order to accomplish. I learned many years ago from a very dear woman, Sister Lois Bannister, and she said this, God never wastes anything. And that is the truth. He never wastes anything. He uses all of these things to accomplish his purpose. And so we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God has ordained for us. Then I want to jump down to verse 12. As we read through verse 12, we read at that time you were. This verse describes what we did not have before we came to Christ. As we read through these things, I want to read through them with the idea that there's been a change, and now these are the kindnesses that God has extended to us because we are in Christ Jesus. Verse 12, at that time you were without Christ. Not anymore. I have Christ now that I've accepted him. Being aliens from the commonwealth. I'm no longer an alien from the commonwealth of Israel or being a part of the people of God. You were strangers from the covenant. I'm no longer a stranger. And the glorious covenant that we're interested in is the Abrahamic covenant. And indeed, God has given us the full provision. Even though we're uncircumcised Gentiles, we still have access to the Abrahamic covenant. I had no hope. Now I do. I was without God in the world, but not anymore. See, all of these are expressions of the riches of his grace, the kindness he has extended unto me. I want to bring out one more point before we leave this verse, because there are people in our day who believe that the church and Israel and nation are both the same thing. They gather that sometime from statements such as this. But when we understand the Scripture, when we understand the Abrahamic covenant, we know that Abraham had two seeds. Now, they're both one commonwealth. They're both classed as the Israel of God or the people of God. But there are two seeds that Abraham had in that covenant. There was the seed by the sand of the seashore. That's Israel as a nation, which will always be an earth dweller, and they have their inheritance in the earth. There are the stars of heaven. That is the church, whereby we are seated in Christ in the heavenlies for eternity. We are a part of that church. And so these are the blessings, the wonders that God has extended unto us at this time. We can enjoy these kindnesses right now. Verse 18. For through him we both have access. Jew and Gentile, his seed on earth as well as his seed in heaven, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. This is one of the greatest kindnesses that God ever extended unto us. Did you know that we can come to the Father, and there's only one, that's the Father of Jesus. We can come to the Father in the same manner and expect the same results that Jesus did. For we pray in Jesus' name. God will answer us exactly the same. And so this is a tremendous blessing, a tremendous kindness that God has given to me in order to access the Father. Come into the very presence of God and enjoy all of these glorious blessings. We can have the same intimacy with the Father that Jesus did. Finally, one more. There are many others here that we did not go into, but that's why a study of the book of Ephesians is a wonderful, wonderful study. Just to pick out and tabulate, just write them down. Spiritual blessings and riches of his grace. Everything in here will fall into one of those two categories. Verse 22. In whom also you are builded together for an habitation of God. This is one of the greatest blessings, one of the greatest indications, expressions of his kindness to us, builded together for an habitation of God, where God indwells. God literally inhabits me, become an habitation of God through the Spirit. In closing, let's turn to John 17, where we find it expressed in this way. This is the beauty of the Scripture, that things are many times the same truth expressed in different ways, but that we can indeed enlarge upon and understand. John 17, verse 24. This is Jesus' intercessory prayer for us. This is among his last petitions, as he says this: Father, we too have access to the Father, as we've seen. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. And notice why. That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I think the ultimate of the kindness that God extends to us is this fullness of glory that we may share with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today, let us reach out and lay hold for ourselves that wonderful kindness which God has extended unto us.